immersed for the remission of their sin, so I'll still offer the invitation for anyone who needs the prayers of the congregation at that time. This morning I want to talk to you on, I had an article in the Truth magazine that I thought would maybe help us a little bit to think on why do people give up. This was wrote by Abraham Smith, and as I was talking to David a minute ago, we neither one have heard or know of Abraham Smith, but I think a lot of his thoughts here are pretty good, so we're going to look at some of those this morning. In today's times, many good efforts have been started and abandoned. Churches have initiated efforts to save the lost, but they stopped. People have given up on themselves. Students have given up on their education. Husbands and wives have given up on their marriages. Children of God have given up on doing the will of God. And children of God have given up on the faith. Elijah was tempted to give up in 1 Kings chapter 19. Paul was too in 2 Corinthians. If you would open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting at verse 8. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despised even of life. We despaired even of life, excuse me. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves but in God, who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Why do people give up? Here are some reasons. Number one, we forget how important a certain thing is or was. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of how important our cause is. Jesus remembered this. Look at John 12 and verse 27. John chapter 12 and verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Number two, we have not conditioned our hearts to face difficult challenges. Ezra prepared his heart. Let's look at Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Anything that is worth having cannot be achieved without a great price. Often cannot be achieved without a great price. We must begin our task with the realization that there will be some difficulties ahead, and we should expect them. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Why do people give up? Number 3. We do not attempt to succeed with all our might. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And verse 21. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. So he prospered. Let's look at Jeremiah 48. Jeremiah chapter 48. Jeremiah 48 and verse 10. Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed is he who keeps back his sword from blood. Let's also look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Colossians 3 and verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Sometimes goals cannot be achieved without us giving all we can. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. That's Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Let's also look at Luke 14 and verse 33. Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Number 4, we do not lay aside every weight and every sin. We cannot carry on with extra weight and sin. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with assurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Our sins destroy our faith, which is the victory that has overcome the world. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Number 5, we focus too much on our failures and our shortcomings. We must forget the past and press on with the future. Let's look at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If we do not forget the past, we will be discouraged. Number 6, we do not learn from our own mistakes or the mistakes of others. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the age have come. Let's also turn to verse 5. Every time I practice this at home, I was saying Jude chapter 5. So Jude doesn't have 5 chapters. It's verse 5. Jude, verse 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. As a result, we experience the same result of failure and become discouraged and quit. Paul reminded the Corinthians that they must learn from the failures of those in Moses' day. And you can find that in Colossians 10, verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. These things are written to the intent that we do not fall after the same example of unbelief and lust for evil things. Why do some people give up? Number 7, we do not receive any encouragement but ridicule. We must remember that we have a responsibility to compliment others when they do well. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 11. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Somebody needs to hear the word, you can make it if you try. Concerning the assembly, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, Christians are admonished to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Our duty to encourage others is not a one-time deal. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For those who have problems, we should regularly inquire about how they are doing. We should offer our support, advice, and assistance where possible and permissible. Why do some people give up? Number 8, we do not focus on the rewards of our efforts. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Turn back to Hebrews. Chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. For God is not unjust to forget your work of labor of love which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and persistence inherit the promises. The reward of a faithful life is heaven. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Number 9, we have not noticed that others with fewer advantages have succeeded. G. Jesus stated that Nineveh had repented at the preaching of Jonah, but a greater than Jonah himself was there. The Hebrew writer listed many individuals who had suffered many things in chapter 11. Then he said, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin." In chapter 12 and verse 4. "Many have made far more sacrifices with fewer advantages. Shall we, with more opportunities and less challenges, do less than they have done?" Number 10, children of God forget the words of Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. Matthew 19 and verse 26. "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" We ought to agree with Paul. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." That's talking about Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 13. The song says, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Peter admonished Christians to cast all their cares upon the Lord. Let's look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Number 11, we spend too much time trying to analyze problems rather than doing something about it. Martin Luther King Jr., even though he did not teach the plan of salvation, the quote-unquote plan of salvation, as found in the Bible, made a good point saying one can be bogged down with the pluralities of analysis. We need to consider our choices, but then we need to put one foot forward to accomplish our choice. We must not have the attitude of Agrippa, who said, "You almost persuaded me to be a Christian," in Acts 26 and verse 28. That's New King James Version. Nor should we be as Felix, waiting for a more convenient time. We need to understand the word now. Now is the day of salvation. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. "For he says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" But we can only be saved if we continue in well-doing. Look at Romans 2 and verse 7. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. "Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality." Number 12 on why do some people give up. We forget that God has commanded us to do certain things. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Whatever God commands that we do, we have no choice but to do it in order to get to heaven. And every time we consider giving up on these things, we must remember Jesus' words, "Not my will, but your will be done." Luke 22 and verse 42. Number 13, we try too early in our labors to assess how well we are doing. We must have patience. If we focus too much on the early stages of our efforts, we may become discouraged to the point of quitting. I am reminded of the story that Jesus told about an unfruitful plant. The owner commanded that it be destroyed, but one of his workers requested that he allow time to work on the plant to see how it would do. Luke 13, 6 through 9. Even so, many other things require time, such as a new worker on a job, a new preacher, and other examples. Number 14, we open our ear repetitively to those who advise us to quit, such as Mrs. Job in Job chapter 2 and verse 9. Job chapter 2 and verse 9. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold to your integrity? Curse God and die." We may be sure that there are many things unscriptural that we should never start, and perhaps if we have, we ought to quit. But if we judge a goal as worthy of our pursuit, then we should spend more time working to fulfill that goal rather than hearing the message, "It won't work," or "You should give up." When the Lord told his disciples of the redemptive work of his death and resurrection, Peter rebuked him. Turn to Matthew 16 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Number 15, we do not realize that the just shall live by faith, and we shall walk by faith and not by sight. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Let's also look at 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Faith should not be blind, but intelligent. The faith that comes by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God, has been thoroughly substantiated and validated by many infallible truths, proofs. Our faith must have the foundation of the Word of God, but we should not have to prove everything before each single step. While waiting for absolute proof, we may become discouraged and quit. Abraham and others did not quit, though they died without receiving or seeing all the promises fulfilled. Hebrews 11, 10 through 16. Why do some people give up? Number 16. We do not realize that we are most tempted to quit good things when we are at our weakest point. We should give ourselves time to become strong and let the weak moment pass. If you're sick, allow yourself time to get well. If you're weary of your load, if you are wearied with your load, take a break and be refreshed. Then, if you decide you should quit. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 11, we looked at that just a little bit ago. Now let's go ahead and look at that again. 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from the great, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that we will still, that he will still deliver us. You also help together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given to many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Number 17, we allow our adversary the devil to make us quit. He throws obstacles in our way. Look at 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But we must allow God to reside in our hearts. Then we can say, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4 and verse 4. When we endeavor to do what is good, we should expect Satan to oppose us. We should remember to resist him steadfast in the faith. If we resist him, he will flee from us. We should also remember that he departs for a season and will return again. In a similar way, we may also have other adversaries. And if we quit because of them, then we must not make them our excuse, because we have the power within ourselves to overcome. Number 18, we blame others and make excuses for not doing what we should. As long as we are inclined to blame others and make excuses, we will not be motivated to continue what we should do. Number 19, we forget that we are often responsible for the difficulties that tempted us to quit. If our children give us trouble because we have set poor example, been inattentive to their needs, or have done them wrong otherwise, we should be more patient rather than give up on them. Husbands who do not love their wives as Christ loved the church, or wives who do not submit themselves unto their own husbands as unto the Lord, will have difficult marriages, and be tempted to quit. Friends who are backbiters, whisperers, and busybodies of other men's matters will find difficulty in maintaining friendships. Elders and preachers who do not imitate the character of Jesus may find their way to be difficult. Philippians 2, 3 through 11. All of us need to remember the words of Solomon. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. 1 Peter 2 and verse 20 teaches that it is the least that we can do to be patient and endure harsh treatment when we sin. Number 20, reasons why people give up. We are not patient. We forget that God is patient with us, so must we be with others. Number 21, we do not get off to a good start. When we have tasted success, we are motivated to taste it again. When we get off to a good start, we develop good memories that motivate us to achieve the same success that we had at the beginning. If we do not have a good start, we may doubt whether we will ever achieve success. Those who get off to a good start do so because they do the right things at the beginning. Thus, before we begin anything, whether a new job, a career, friendship, having children, marriages, be a preacher, be a child of God, be a Christian, we must count the cost at the beginning. To have a good start with the Lord, we must put the Lord far above Father and bear our cross, otherwise we cannot be disciples of Jesus. Number 22, we do not realize that others are watching us and are influenced by our examples. We must all realize that it is impossible to be neutral with reference to our influence. Let's look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 23. He who is not with me is against me, but he who does not gather with me scatters. Thus those whom we influence include our children, our friends, our relatives, our co-workers, our spouses, our brothers, our sisters in Christ, and everyone else. And when we quit what is good, then others are influenced to do the same. Number 23. We do not pray for others and believe that our prayers make a difference. This can be seen in James chapter 5, verses 16 through 20, with the example of Elijah. In the process of saving a sinner's soul from death, we must remember that the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Verse 16. In Exodus 32, 11 through 14, records Moses' prayer for the Israelites who sinned. The result of Moses' prayer was the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people in verse 14. Number 24, and why some people give up. We are unwilling to do that one thing that seems so insurmountable and so hard to do. There was a certain ruler who was willing to obey the commandments, but Jesus told him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Matthew 19, 16 through 24. When we fail to do that one thing that is difficult in our lives, we often give up on the rest of what God has asked us to do. Number 26, we have too many irons in the fire. Oftentimes, we cannot do certain things while doing others. If we attempt to do so, we will be forced to give up on one or both of them. No one can serve two masters, for either he will serve the one and hate the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6 and verse 24. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Sometimes the things that we must give up on in order to do what we ought to do are not bad things. They simply do not have as high a priority. Things having a higher priority must be done, or they might not ever get done. I heard of a man who once contributed many volumes of material for others to study the Bible, but he neglected his role as a spiritual leader and a guide to his family, and he lost all his children. Number 27, we do not recognize that the best conditions for success and the opportunities to succeed will not last forever. There are many things in life that we must act upon now, otherwise we may as well give up. The children of Israel were told to go into the land of Canaan. At first they refused, later they recognized their error and decided to go up. But it was too late. Many of us keep waiting and putting off things that we know we should do. Then there comes a time when it'll be too late. Number 28, we attempt things that we do not have the ability to do. In recognizing that there are some things which we do not have the ability to do, we must realize that doing God's will is not one of them. God has provided us with the means to do whatever He has asked us to do. Number 29, we do not realize when we actually are giving up. A synonym for not giving up is persistence. Persistence means doing something. If we are not doing anything toward a goal, we have quit. Sometimes people say that they have not given up, but what they mean is that they have not stopped wishing that something would occur. But the issue still remains, what are you doing to make it happen? And lastly, why some people give up is ultimately the reason people give up is that they have given up or lost faith in God and the Bible as His Word. When we believe the Scriptures, its message to continue should be enough. If it will not settle our minds, then we have lost faith. We need to regain it again by becoming an honest seeker of the truth, thus repenting and exercising our faith and obedience. That's the lesson this morning. I want to offer the invitation for any of you who need the prayers of the congregation.